Why are you here tonight? Why are you watching at home tonight? And the answer that you come up with why you're here tonight says a whole lot about your Christian walk. Are you here tonight because it's Sunday? And you need to be here because it's Sunday? I want everybody to come to church. Don't get me wrong about anything that I will say tonight. But are you here because it's Sunday? Or are you here because you love the Lord and you would come no matter what day it is? That's a tough question. And if you're here because it's Sunday and my place is here and I got to come because this is where I need to be, then I want you to ask yourself, why am I here? If your answer wasn't about my love, my relationship with Christ, then I want us to look tonight at a few things from Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, find your way there for me. Give you a little bit of background from Romans chapter 9. Ever since Israel returned to the land from Babylonian captivity, you notice Israel was in captivity a whole lot, right? God's people were in captivity a whole lot. And I believe that's pretty close to where we are right now. We may have freedoms, we may have all the things that we can do, but the things that we're going to suffer, because of a lot of things that we have allowed to take place of God in our life. The nation had been cured of idolatry. In the temple and the local synagogues, only the true God was worshipped and served. And only the true law was taught. So zealous were the Jews that they even improved upon God's law and added their own traditions, making them equal to the law. Paul himself had been zealous for the law and for traditions. There was a time when Paul would have agreed with his people, the people that he was raised with, the people that he worshiped with. There was a time that he would have agreed with them. For he himself opposed the gospel and considered Jesus Christ an impostor. And I really hope that no one here is opposing the gospel or consider Jesus Christ as an impostor. If you did, I don't think you would be here tonight. Israel considered the Gentiles in need of salvation, but certainly not themselves. Certainly not the people who God had called out. Certainly not the people who God had taken out of captivity and placed them back in a homeland. But sad to say, many of the religious people today are making that same mistake. They think that their good works, their religious deeds, the things of coming to church on Sunday night, coming to church period, is what's going to make them righteous, is what's going to save them. When actually these practices are keeping them from God. Certainly many of the Israelites, just like us, were sincere and devout. But sincerity and devotion will never save your soul. So Romans chapter 9 is where we're going to start tonight, if you'll stand. Romans chapter 9, verses 30, and we'll read through chapter 10, verse 4. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that I have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come to you in prayer. Father, we thank you for the example that is in your book of how we are to love you. Father, I just thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. I cannot say thank you enough for all that you have done. Father, I know there's nothing in me that is good enough to get to heaven. But Father, because of your shed blood and forgiveness of sins, I can have a life eternal with you. Father, again, thank you for all that you've done for us. In your name I pray. Amen. So Israel had a zeal for God. Anybody in here have a zeal? I didn't say for God. You have zeal. Yeah. We all have zeal about certain things, right? Yes? Okay. We all have zeal for certain things. Man, I can sit here and lay out things that I have zeal for, and none of them make a hill of beans difference to any of y'all. Just like the things you have zeal for, probably doesn't excite me at all. Now, if we were to talk about certain things, baseball, me and Jamie would have a really good conversation about baseball, right? Yes, we would. Because we have a zeal for that. Some of y'all have different things that we have things in common. But we have zeal that sometimes takes place of what we should really have zeal for. And Paul witnessed Israel's zeal firsthand. See, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, it says, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless." You know, Paul was right there with Israel. He knew exactly what they were going through. He knew exactly what they were after, because he was one of those that was doing it with them. But there is a difference, and we'll get to that here in just a second. The word zeal means enthusiastic. Man, we've been really enthusiastic here lately, haven't we? Y'all have all been excited about staying at home. You've all been excited about the election. You've all been excited about the way the country's going. You've all been excited. Man, how much more enthusiasm can we have? Paul writes in Romans 12:11, says, "Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord." The word slothful means hesitate, to hold back, to be lazy. Anybody in here held back your zeal? Anybody in here been lazy? It depends on what it is, right? It depends on what we're talking about. It depends on if something that really gets underneath our skin. We're not lazy about that. But Jesus is what he's talking about. He said, don't be lazy. Don't hold back. Don't hesitate with your zeal for God. Having zeal and serving the Lord. You get back to my question that I asked you tonight. Having zeal and serving the Lord is not the same as serving the Lord because you love Him. And I need you to understand that. Having zeal and serving the Lord is not the same as serving Him because you love Him. We can be excited about serving the Lord, and we do it just out of necessity. We preach sermons that are 30 minutes or pop culture 20-minute sermons, like Brother Michael said this morning. And we come and we listen to those, and it's out of necessity. Maybe. Maybe not. But if we're coming because it's just that time and we're serving the Lord through that, it's kind of like money. Paul says, be a joyful giver. And we give because it's a necessity, but we don't give because we love the Lord. There's a difference. Do you see? There's a difference in how we serve. There's a difference in how we look at those things. Love God, not the worship of God. And I want us to understand that tonight. You're here tonight because you love God. Not because you come to worship Him. But yet you come to worship Him. But did you come to worship Him because you loved Him? That's not double talk. That's honest truth. I came tonight to worship. But did I come because I love God? To worship Him. Israel's zeal was misguided. Why? Because they were ignorant of God's righteousness. They wanted to get their righteousness because of the sacrifices and everything that they did for God. They loved God. God loved them. But they spent a lot of time in the temple offering sacrifices and rejecting the sacrifice. Still today, that's what happens. Did Israel not pursue righteousness? Yes, they did. Only by the works of the law. Their knowledge of righteousness was only outward. It was not inward. It was a show. Yes, God said, do these few things, but they added on top of that. And the more they did, the more they made that righteous act. But they didn't have it here. Israel sought to establish their righteousness, not submitting to God's righteousness. And God gave that righteousness through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And guess what? He gave that freely. It's not something we had to do and work and make certain sacrifices for that to happen. He gave that to us freely. And Israel missed that point. They missed it. Jesus didn't say in John chapter 14, verse 5, the keeping of my commandments will show me that you love me. He said, because you love me, you will keep them. Because you love God, that's why you do that. Paul states in chapter 10, verse 3, I know what enthusiasm they have. I know, personally, I know this. But it's misdirected zeal. It is a mistake to place a set of performances in place of God's plan to show yourself right before God. Anybody ever done that? The things that you do, man, God has blessed us with musicians. God's blessed us with singers. God has blessed us with teachers. But if we start placing those acts of worship ahead of what God has for us, those are misguided. We're using them for the wrong reasons. And it's the same thing Israel was doing. They were using things for the wrong reasons. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, God commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God. You see, Israel had great zeal. Great zeal. But that fervency that their zeal burned for was without the light of the knowledge of God. The true knowledge of His salvation. See, Paul had a zeal for God, but Paul's zeal was not the same as Israel's. There was a great love by God for Israel and a great love for Israel for God. But where Israel lacked in knowledge, an active participation in what God had for them, Paul abounded in it. Why? Because there was a subtle difference. He met Jesus. Paul met Jesus. The same Jesus that Israel rejected. Paul's zeal was not misguided. It was not misdirected. Paul had faith in Jesus. Israel had faith in what they could do. Because of Paul's faith, he wanted Israel to be saved. Wow. Israel rejected Jesus. And because of Israel's racial and religious pride, turned them from a simple faith to a blind religion. And I do not want us to have that. Be turned from a simple faith, because faith in God is pretty simple. God said, I died for you. Okay, I believe you. You see how simple that is? I didn't have to go through a whole lot of things. I just looked at God and said, I believe that you died for me. And I accept your sacrifice. And I want you to live in my life. And because He's there, I allow Him to guide my worship. Most of the time. And I can say that with all fairness and trueness. Most of the time. Sometimes I get in the way of that. But Paul wanted Israel to be saved. He wanted Israel to love God from the heart. Paul had a great desire. Let's go back and look at chapter 10 here. He says this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Where's your desire? Do you have a desire for Russellville to be saved? Do you have a desire for everybody who walks through these doors to be saved? There's the difference. I desire Russellville to be saved. I desire a lot of things. But what am I doing to correct that? This was Paul's life in his desire. He said, I would pray to God about them. Do y'all do that? Do y'all pray to God about the lost? I want you to be honest. Is that something you put in your personal prayers? Not just something that you would pray in this sanctuary so everybody could hear you, but something you put in your personal prayers. Lord, I know that this person is lost. Please open the door. Father, I don't know anybody that lost. All my friends are saved. Can you please send somebody my way that's lost so that I can introduce you to them? There's a difference of having that active participation, that knowledge, that zeal it's more than just being on fire, but a zeal that comes from the heart. Paul said, I pray to God about them. And guess what else he did? He talked to them about God. You have to do that too. You can't pray for people to be saved and never talk to anybody about it. Paul said, my heart's desire is that happens. That conversation happens. And guess what's going to happen after that? I'm going to give God all the glory that comes from it. It's nothing that I did, but I'm giving God all of that glory. So our zeal for God. What is your mission statement in life? Paul's was this. It is my heart's desire that they would be saved. That they would quit trying to worry about what they could do and rely on what God could do. What is your mission statement in life? Is it personal? Now that we just flipped over a whole new year, some of y'all had goals, right? How many of y'all have blown through them already? Maybe your goal was just to get out of COVID. I don't know. Personal goals. We have personal goals. Maybe it's to do well at work. Maybe it's to finish a degree for college students. Maybe it's, you name it. Get rid of some wrinkles. Dye my hair. Get a whole new personality. I don't know. Whatever your personal goal is, we have those. Maybe it's relational. Maybe my relationship needs to be better with my spouse. Maybe it needs to be better with my family. Maybe it needs to be better with my boss. Maybe it needs to be better with, the people who don't think the same way that I do. Maybe it's professional. Maybe you want to move up the ladder. Maybe you want to step off and find a different line of work. Maybe you want to be your own boss. But in all of this, if your mission state in life, I thought about giving you all a blank piece of paper and saying, write down your mission statement in life. Hopefully you all have a purpose. As Christians, we all have a purpose, right? God gave us a mission statement in life. He gave the church a mission statement in life. He said, make disciples. Paul kind of took that to heart, didn't he? Paul took that to heart. And as Christians that have been changed by Jesus, shouldn't we take that to heart too? To make disciples? That we have a desire for that? But in all of our mission statements, all of the things that we can do, the question remains, is it God-centered? Is it God-centered? Or is it all about what benefits me? So what's your desire tonight? What is your desire? I asked you the question when we started. Why are you here tonight? See, that desire comes from a heart. It comes from a heart out of love. I told y'all, I think it was last week, that I would like to see every seat in this place filled. Every time the doors are open. I would. But I have to think that I probably need to clarify that. I would like to see every seat in this house filled because they love the Lord. Not just for the simple sake of filling seats, but because they want to be here because they love God. I sat at home, and for those 2 months that I sat at home, I craved being here. Not because that I can't worship at home, and it's terrible. It's tough. Just to even think about going back and spending Easter sitting on my couch again. That I made my entire family put on clothes and get dressed up like we were going to church and sit on the couch and watch a pre-recorded Easter sermon. It about makes me throw up and cry to think that that could happen again. Praise the Lord, I don't think it's going to. But I want people to sit in these pews. I want people to serve the Lord, not because it's something that needs to be done, but because they love God. Period. And that's what drives them. You see, Paul fought against the gospel so hard that Jesus stopped him on the Damascus Road and changed his life. And I think some of us need to be stopped on the road that we're on in our life. And our hearts need to be changed. Because if our hearts were changed, I'm talking to people watching online, I'm talking to people in here, if our hearts were changed, we'd never look and go, I got an excuse, I don't have to go this morning because I can sit at home. I don't have an excuse, I don't have to be here Sunday night because Kelly's preaching. Don't want to listen to another pop culture 20-minute sermon. I don't have to be here Wednesday night. I spent all school year in Awana. They have Wednesday night services on summer, but I served the Lord enough while I was back there for that. I don't have to come. It's a lie we tell ourselves. We look for excuses. And there's so many people thanking God right now that they have gotten an excuse from Him that they don't have to do anything to serve Him. Like Brother Michael said this morning, we can still spread the gospel social distance. We can still spread the gospel with a mask on. We can still spread the gospel. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm telling you about Jesus, I want you to hear me. I want you to understand what I'm telling you. I want you to know. I want you to see the expression that's on my face and the joy and excitement that I have for Jesus. Because I love Him. Can you look within yourself tonight and go, I'm here because I love Jesus. If you can't, this invitation is for you. As Brother Dale comes, he's already up here. This invitation is for you. If you can't say, I'm here because I love Jesus. And I know that might be, Kelly, I don't want to walk up there because as soon as I walk up there, people are going to go, I'm not here for the right reasons. Yeah, you are. You're here for a relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then this altar is for you. But Kelly, I don't want to walk up there because people know that I'm dying and going to hell. Well, praise the Lord. Come on and change your life. It's that simple. That simplicity of faith. And that simplicity of love. Y'all know what love is, right? All of y'all have experienced love in some shape, form, or fashion. But the love of Christ and the love that we have in our hearts for Him, man, that's real love. And if you don't know that tonight, I invite you to come. Would you stand? Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you again for that joy that you had on the cross. For that joy of giving your life so that we would be redeemed. Father, let nothing that we do in this building, let nothing that we do in our life be without a love for you. Father, I pray that in my heart it will always be filled with you. Father, that I don't put anything in there that will block you out, things that will make me happy, things that I think I need to do that will make you happy with me. Father, I know that I need to love you more and trust you more. Father, I just pray that you would help me do that. In your name I pray.